I want to encourage you to open your Bibles. You could also follow along. We have the verses printed out in the bulletin, as always. You could follow there. We're going to be reading this morning Romans chapter 11, beginning with the 11th verse and reading through the 24th verse, a little bit longer section. It'll take a little bit more energy for you to get the big picture, and I won't be going through each and every verse one at a time. Otherwise, we'd have to have not only lunch but dinner here. But I want you to particularly notice the big picture, if you would, right from the very beginning. Notice the olive tree. That's the key. Notice the olive tree and ask yourself in each verse we read about the olive tree, okay, what God is teaching us through that. Romans chapter 11, beginning with the 11th verse and reading through the 24th verse, this is the inspired Word of God. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Certainly not. But through their fall or trespass, you might have a footnote in your Bibles, but through their fall or trespass, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Now, if their trespass is riches for the world, and their failure riches for the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? But I speak to you Gentiles. Inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry. If by any means I may provoke to jealousy those who are my flesh and save some of them. For if their being cast away is the reconciling of the world, what will be their acceptance but life from the dead? For if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them became a partaker of the root and fatness of the olive tree, do not boast against the branches. But if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, well, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well said. Because of unbelief, they were broken off. And you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, He may not spare you either. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God. On those who fell, severity. But toward you, goodness, if you continue in this goodness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. And they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. For if you were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted, contrary to nature, into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these, who are natural branches, be grafted into their own tree? And here ends our reading from God's Word. You've got to keep it open this morning, but let's begin with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we who are Gentiles have been particularly addressed in these very words of Scripture this morning. We who were branches of wild olive trees and who have been engrafted into a cultivated tree. Oh, Father, help us to understand why. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. We've noticed that for some time now the Apostle Paul has been talking about the tragedy of Israel, his brethren according to the flesh. He's talked about his deep sorrow for his brethren according to the flesh who have rejected Christ. He has talked about how, although to them belonged so many of the benefits of God, the adoption, the glory, the covenant signs, the Torah, the Word of God, the law, the worship, the prophetic promises, the priesthood, even the physical presence and the physical origin of Jesus Christ according to the flesh, yet in spite of all of those benefits, as a whole, the people of Israel had rejected the one treasure to which all of those benefits pointed. And as they grew more and more in their rebellion and their hardness against God, we noticed particularly last week that God even judicially hardened them further, shockingly even taking those very benefits that belonged to them, particularly the preaching of the Word, what He called last week their table, and turning that table of the Word of God by which God's people are to be fed and nourished, the gospel, the preaching of the gospel, taking even that and making it a snare and a trap, and they became more and more and more hardened in this descent into depravity and reprobation. It was a bleak picture. Is there anything all of light? Is there anything all of good? Why would God do it that way? Verse 11. I say then, have they stumbled in order that they should fall? Is that the only reason? May it never be. But through their fall, and the word means trespass, through their trespass, their sin, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Paul says, of course not. And then, in order to explain that answer, of course God has a purpose, a light in this darkness, a good thing behind what is apparently a bad thing. The Apostle Paul turns to a kind of a parable. This figure of a tree and its keeper is one that's very, very common throughout Jewish history, both New Testament as well as Old Testament. There are various trees that are used, but the Bible very often talks about the keeper of a grapevine, the keeper of a fig tree, or as in this case, the keeper of an olive tree. You might remember that when God is speaking to Hosea, He says, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them. I will be like a dew to Israel. He shall grow like the lily and strengthen his roots like Lebanon. His branches shall spread. Here it is now. His beauty shall be like an olive tree. So you see this image of the olive tree very explicitly in the 14th chapter of the book of Hosea, referring to the people of Israel. Okay? There are other places, and like I said in the Old Testament, sometimes it's an olive tree, sometimes it is other figures, maybe a fig tree, maybe a grape vine. Isaiah, twice, for example, in chapters 17 and as well as in 24, compares God's judgments against Israel as God coming and shaking this olive tree so hard that there's only a few olives up on the top of the tree that remain, the remnant that the apostle's been talking about. You ever see those machines that they use to shake nuts off of various kinds of trees? A big thing goes around the trunk of the tree, and man, does that thing shake it. And that's what Isaiah compares God's judgment to. There are many other places in the Old Testament where God compares Israel to a vine that He digs up and He brings and He plants and He takes care of this vine. Jesus used similar images, particularly of grape and fig. You might remember the night before He died, speaking about the relationship between Himself and His disciples. Jesus said, I am the vine, and you are the branches. You remember that. And how Jesus warns there, he says, you know, the branches that don't bear fruit, the fruit of sanctification, are going to be cut off and thrown away. And he even says, remember how even fruitful branches are going to be pruned back. That's an idea we're going to return to a little bit later on. Even fruitful branches need to be pruned back in order that they might produce even more. You might even remember what I would call a parabolic miracle. In a certain sense, all of Jesus' miracles have a sign value to them. But there's one that is outstanding as a kind of a parable miracle. And man, it's a very odd miracle. I believe it occurred on the way, the last week of Jesus' life, I think. Remember that last week of his life, he apparently stayed outside of Jerusalem at night, probably in Bethany. And he would come into the city each day. And you might remember that on one day, Jesus and his disciples are I don't know whether leaving the city or coming back. I don't really remember. But he sees the fig tree from a distance and it's all filled with leaves. Remember that? And he goes up to this fig tree, which is bursting with all these leaves. There's not a fruit to be found on it. Not a fruit to be found. And he curses that tree. Yeah, aren't that many what you might call negative miracles? You're used to thinking of miracles as healings. He curses that tree. And how the next morning, when they come back, that fig tree is withered and dead. That's a parable of Israel. That's a parable of Israel that Jesus preached more than any other time in his life. That last week in Jerusalem. The heart of today's verses is not a technical parable. It's just that Paul is using this metaphor or this figure, this word picture, if you like, of this olive tree. Now, this olive tree, you see, is a cultivated tree. And what does this tree keeper do to cultivate the tree? Well, he cuts off certain branches. Now, if you've ever kept apple trees or cherry trees or, you know, various kinds of fruit trees, you've probably done that as well. The only kind of trees I keep are those little bonsai trees. But I'll tell you what, if I fail to do that, I don't have what looks like a nice little tree anymore in miniature. It's very, very important that certain branches be removed for the benefit of the tree. And then not only that, this tree keeper goes and he cuts off some branches from some wild old scraggly tree. Can you imagine a person having a hybrid tea rose? This is a winning rose. This is a prize winner. And he goes out back my window back there. Well, until the deacons cut them down, there used to be some wild roses outside my window. Well, wild roses aren't much, but I like them. Can you imagine somebody with this prize winning hybrid tea rose? And he goes out. That was loud. He goes out and he cuts off some branches from this scraggly, old, wild, blooms for about 3 days a year. Little tiny bloom that you can hardly see, wild rose, and he brings it back. And he engrafts it into this hybrid tea rose. Well, that's what this guy does with the...
Cutting off of fruitless branches. Now, this is all over the place in here. I'm going to read you some verses. Here we go. Verse 11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Certainly not, but their fall, remember, fall means trespass now. It means their sins against Christ. their fall, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Look at verse 12. Now, if their fall, there it is again, their trespass is riches for the world, and their failure, riches for the Gentiles, how much more their fullness. I want you to notice, fall, failure, that kind of thing. Look at verse 15. For if they're being cast away, see how they're talked about as being cast away. Down to verse 17. If some of the branches were broken off, some of them were, they were broken off. And then all the way down to 20, well said, the apostle says, because of unbelief they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Because of unbelief they were broken off. Excuse the commercial break up here. Maybe new ones every week would be a good idea. What do you say? Pat? Thank you. All right.
Can you hear me now? We okay? Okay, good. So in all of those verses, the Apostle Paul is using the figure, the metaphor of this olive tree and of branches being cut off, and the reality to which that metaphor, that symbol points, is the Jews' rejection of Christ and God's casting them off, this hardening of them, as we talked about last week. Israel certainly did fall. They rejected Christ. They crucified Him. They rejected the apostolic preaching in Jerusalem and throughout the world. They followed Paul, dogging him, persecuting him, even as Paul himself, when his name was still Saul, used to do to the church of Jesus Christ. In Paul's figure here, in his metaphor, Israel is this cultivated olive tree. We might today say it is a cultivar, a cultivated variety, maybe a hybrid. This is a tree not that you do not find out in the woods or in the forest someplace. This is a tree which its keeper has truly worked with and tended. Paul, look at verse 13, is talking particularly here to Gentile believers. That's you and me, as well as the Gentile believers in the Roman church as Paul wrote the letters. And he reminds them that they were wild olive trees, branches on wild olive trees. And they were grafted into a different tree. But in order for that to happen, he reminds them that branches had to be cut off. Look at verse 17. If some of the branches, this is on the cultivated tree now, some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them became a partaker of the root and the fatness of the tree. So I want you to get the picture and know what the various parts mean here. So Paul is saying that the Gentiles were these wild branches on wild olive trees, and then there's this cultivated tree, and God cut off some of the branches. He pruned them off, or it says here, He broke them off, the branches of the cultivated tree, and then He engrafted these wild branches into the cultivated tree. Look how Paul describes those branches which are cut off in verse 21. These are the branches which were cut off. If God did not spare the natural branches. He's talking here about the unbelieving Jews. See, in some sense, we're going to be talking about that, in some sense, they are the natural branches. They're the Jewish people, after all. Those are the people of the covenant. Okay? Notice how he describes the tree from which those natural branches were removed down in verse 24. I know we're bouncing around a lot. That's why I warned you. You've got to have it open. If you were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted, contrary to nature, into a cultivated olive tree. That's the nature of this tree. See, they were cut off a wild tree, and they're engrafted into this cultivated tree. Why is Israel a cultivated tree? God had chosen this people out of all the peoples of the earth. He did, as it were, dig them out of Egypt and bring them and plant them in a land flowing with milk and honey. He revealed Himself to them. He watered. He fertilized. He cared for. He loved that olive tree that He was cultivating. Lots of other images. I hope that reminds you, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. You remember the parable of Jesus, for example, both in Matthew and Mark, how Jesus talks, changes the metaphor just a little bit. Instead of an olive tree, it's a grapevine. But how this vine dresser plants this vine, and how then he plants this hedge around it to protect it. You see, and then he builds a vat because he expects to receive the fruit of the grapevine. He builds a tower even. Well, that's going the extra step. He builds this tower for their protection. Remember, Jesus also talks in Luke chapter 13 about a man who plants a fig tree. And remember how for three years, that man, through his servants, cares for that tree. He cultivates it. He fertilizes it. He waters it. He prunes it. He trims it. And then finally, the owner of that fig tree, it's kind of an orchard, I suppose, comes and he says, don't we have any figs from this tree yet? And the guy says, no, not a one. And the owner says, we're going to give it one more year. And if it doesn't produce some fruit within a year, cut it down. Why is it wasting the ground it's standing on? Remember that? Pretty tough words, isn't it? So here in Paul's parabolic teaching, it's not really a parable, but his figurative teaching here, the olive tree is Israel. It's God's church. It's cultivated out of all the nations of the earth. All the advantages that are given to the Jews that Paul has talked about, the scriptures and the Old Testament sacraments and sacrifices and the prophets and so on and so forth. But some of those branches on that cultivated tree, that cultivar, that, well, you don't say a hybrid tea, I guess, I don't suppose, do you? But on this prize tree, he cuts off some of the branches. He throws them away. Why? Is there something wrong? Is there something wrong with this man? Look at verse 20. Because of unbelief, they were broken off. There was a reason that they were broken off. The reason is they did not bring forth the fruit of faith. They were unbelieving. Their obstinate unbelief in Jesus Christ. And so Paul warns the Gentiles too, who have now been engrafted. We'll talk about that more in a minute. He warns them, take a lesson from this. And so people of Providence Church, take a lesson from this. Most especially those of you who were maybe born and baptized in this church, take a lesson from this. Look at verse 22 and get your lesson. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God on those who fell severity, but toward you goodness, if you continue in God's goodness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. If God cut off unbelieving Jews, He will cut off unbelieving Gentiles, member of the church or not. See? Don't forget the severity of God. It's not a popular thing to preach. It's not a popular thing to hear, but please hear it. You can't know God if you don't know not only His goodness, but His severity. Don't be embarrassed of God and His character. And He warns. And so don't take your privileges for granted. Unbelievers will be cut off. Secondly, I want you to notice not only the cutting off of fruitless branches, but the ingrafting of the wild branches. We'll just look at 17 and 18. This is the ingrafting of wild branches. And if some of the branches were broken off, and you being a wild olive tree were grafted in among them, and with them became a partaker of the root and fatness of the olive tree, do not boast against the branches. But if you do boast, here it is now, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. The engrafting of the wild branches. In this parabolic world, God only has one tree. I want you to notice that first of all. God only has one cultivated tree, one chosen planting, not two. Unfruitful branches are cut off of that one tree, and the new branches are engrafted into that very same one tree among the branches which already were there. Look at that 17th verse in front of you again. God doesn't plant a separate tree for the Jews and the Gentiles. There is only one tree. Now, there's this wild tree, this one wild, uncultivated tree. Look again at verse 17. It apparently stands for all of the Gentiles throughout the whole world. In this parabolic picture, a parable is like a picture frame. It defines the world. And in this parabolic world, there's only two trees. There's a wild tree, and there's a cultivated tree. You see, this wild tree, unlike the cultivated Jewish tree, is it's the realm of unbelief. It's the kingdom of darkness, unfamiliar with the things of God. That's why in that other verse, the Apostle Paul refers to those branches that are going to be engrafted back in to the cultivated tree, that he refers to them as the natural branches. Part of the natural church of Israel, in other words. The covenant people of God, the church of God. But this wild tree is the Gentile world. Paul describes in greater detail the wild state of that olive tree in Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with verse 11. He doesn't use the figure of a tree anymore, but he's talking about the same thing. He says there, "Remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh," so he's talking to the Gentile believers again, okay? "You were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel." Read olive tree, cultivated olive tree. "Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." Now that's these scraggly, wild olive trees. That's that bramble rose outside my window. Down the hallway there, you see. That describes the pagan world without Scripture, without the prophets, without the sacrifices and the temple worship, wandering around in the darkness, so to speak. And the real wonder is the 24th verse. "If you were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature, into a cultivated olive tree." Contrary to nature, what kind of a husbandman, I don't know what the word is, what kind of an olive tree keeper goes out and cuts those wild branches and brings them and puts them on his precious cultivated tree? See? You see how startling that is? Even though, I mean, they're not trained. They're not schooled in these things. You know how those Gentiles are. Alone and without God in the world, the apostle said. Aliens, strangers. What do they know about God? They never heard of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. I never heard about David. I don't even know who Isaiah is. How could you bring those people? And yet God, at the very time when Paul was writing these words, God was calling the Gentiles and engrafting them into this cultivated tree by the hordes. By the hordes. Being brought into the church, which is the kingdom of Jesus Christ. But what Paul is really marveling at here, and he wants you to marvel at it, is the occasion for that engrafting. The situation, the occasion for that engrafting of these goofy, wild olive branches into this branch where they're going to participate in the root and the fatness of the tree itself. They're going to turn into wonderful, beautiful olive branches. The occasion was the Jewish rejection of Jesus Christ. Verse 11. But through their trespass, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. That which the Jews gauged and planned to be stopping the spread of the kingdom of God, to nip that olive tree, so to speak, in the bud and kill it. The execution of Christ, the persecution of the apostolic church, that very thing meant to stop the olive tree is this pruning back of the olive tree. And you know what happens when you prune the tree back. It bursts forth in new growth, in new vitality. And out of the eater came something to eat, and out of the bitter came something sweet. And God's purpose, even in the sin of Israel, was to bring the gospel to the world. You know how that happened. Jesus gave the Great Commission to preach the gospel in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. But it didn't go very far until the persecutions began. And because of those persecutions, the gospel was taken to the end of the earth. It used to be said that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. Christian, would you be the seed of the church? Would you? Would you value your blood more than the kingdom of Christ? Might I say, more than the blood of Christ? Don't fear persecution. He's telling the people of his day, don't fear the persecution of the Jews. There's not much to be worried about in that regard today, at least in general. In some places, yes. You're more worried about the Muslims. There's no enemy outside the church of Jesus Christ that can stop the kingdom of Jesus Christ. If the gates of hell will not prevail against it, why would you worry about Iraq and Iran and who knows where else? Why? It's a simple lack of faith. Thirdly and lastly, I want you to notice not only the cutting off of the fruitless branches and the engrafting in of the wild branches, but we do want to notice the re-engrafting of some of the natural branches into their own tree. Yeah, longer to write down. The re-engrafting of some of the natural branches into their own tree. Look at verse 22. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God on those who fell severity. That's the cutting off. But toward you, goodness. That's the engrafting in. If you continue in His goodness, otherwise you also will be cut off. Verse 23. And they also, now these are the branches that were cut off. Now we're back to them, the they. And they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. For if you were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and you were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated tree, how much more will these? I'd say those, myself, those who are natural branches, the unbelieving Jews, natural branches be grafted back into their own tree. Did God have a divine purpose for good in the trespass, the sin of the Jews, their rejection of Christ? Of course He did. Their rejection was the immediate occasion for salvation being preached to the Gentiles. Their lopping off, their cutting off caused the tree to burst forth in vitality. And all of these Gentiles are grafted into the tree. And then the apostle says, God's not done. There's even something else, even more astounding. God used the trespass of the Jewish people not only to bring the gospel to the Gentiles and their engrafting as wild branches into the cultivated tree, but God used that also for the salvation of the elect Jews. Because the fact of the matter is, once again, if you've ever trimmed a tree, you know that when you cut off those dead and diseased branches, you may graft some new branches on and the vitality and all will take over and it'll be wonderful. But also, there will be branches, natural branches, so to speak. They also will be revitalized. Oh, I've changed the image just a little bit. He's talking about them as if they were cut off and then being re-engrafted back in. But he's saying, what is this grafting stuff? This is the preaching of the one and only gospel of faith in Jesus Christ. The one and only way of salvation. The one and only way to ever be grafted into God's precious tree. And what he's saying is that this one way, this one grafting in, this one preaching of this one gospel is not only for the Gentiles. It is for the Jewish people as well. They also must come in this way and this way only. Verse 23, and God is able to graft them in. There is absolutely no difference in the preaching of the gospel, whether it is to a Gentile or to a Jew. And notice how the apostle talks about this occasion that God used to save elect Jews is described as jealousy. Look at the 14th verse. If by any means I may provoke to jealousy those who are my flesh and save some of them. What is this jealousy? Well, there was this negative, hateful envy that was talked about before, and that was true. But what is jealousy? Jealousy is desiring the good that you see that somebody else has. And God has a design. And Paul is talking to the Gentiles. He's saying, do you see that your life in Christ, the fruitfulness of your life, is to be so outstanding that even those Jews whom God has secretly elected from all eternity, don't worry about it. He'll take care of His. They will see the blessings that have been given to you. And they also will be moved by that jealousy. Every single one of God's elect Jews will see the gospel, the one and only gospel of Jesus Christ, and they will come. God uses a severe discipline in this. It's a different topic, but it's something that the church of our day ought to remember. Discipline always, properly done, whether it's God or God's church, doesn't have a negative effect. It has a positive effect. This is a very severe discipline, but it's for the benefit, he says, for the benefit of the elect among the nations, for the benefit of the elect among the Jewish people themselves. And so Paul gives those sobering cautions. I've already mentioned them. Verse 18, we'll end with this now. Verse 18, do not boast against the branches. If you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. There are some very creditable Bible students who take that root to be Abraham or maybe the patriarchs. I don't think so. Abraham doesn't support anybody. Just let me say it that way. The root and the fatness of the tree. The fatness means the life. The life stuff. That comes through Jesus Christ, and you know it. And that's what the root has to be. But he's talking about gospel humility here. Talking about gospel humility. You Gentiles aren't any more fit to be in God's cultivated tree than the Jews are. You got nothing on the Jews or anybody else, do you? And so he talks about that gospel humility. And then he gives that exhortation to persevere. Read it before, read it again. Verse 22. Consider the goodness and severity of God on those who fell severity, but toward you goodness, if you continue in His goodness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. Paul is teaching the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints. You know, whether the Gentile is born into the covenant people of God, as many of you have been, or whether he's baptized later on, having come to know from outside of the covenant community, whether he enters by choice, remember this, God breaks off unfruitful branches. It's time for you to think about your life. It's time for you to think about your life. God is looking. He's looking to see, is there fruit in your life? Remember, he breaks off fruitless branches. And remember to continue in God's goodness. How do you do that? Continue in faith, trust, real trust, devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. Continue in the ordinary means of grace. And continue to bring forth the fruit of faith in your life. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, you who are the root of the whole tree, you from whom flows all of the goodness and all of the fatness, the richness, the nourishment of being in your church and in your community. Oh, dear Lord Jesus, how we pray that you would be pleased, to cultivate us, that we might ever continue to be engrafted into that one life-giving tree. We pray it in your name. Amen.
Please know that we'll have a few elders down front that are willing and able to pray with you this morning. And now receive God's blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Okay, Jacob, let's go down. What'd you do?